This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, July 23rd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Neri, and I shall be your host for today as we have an open lying Tuesday. It's a headline I want to read. It made me smile. I chuckled at this headline and say, I must read this headline to see if people interpret it like how I interpret it, right? It says AG. This is from The Guardian, actually. The best newspaper. Oh, dear, you need to get the copy because this is very good news today. AG, we are ending criminalization of Rastafarianism. Let me read that again. We are finally ending the criminalization of Rastafarianism. I'm happy to hear that. I didn't know Rastas was against the law to be Rasta. But I'm happy to hear the good news.
It's not against the law to be Rasta.
Want to read the headline again?
Read it again.
AG, colon, we are ending criminalization of Rastafarianism. It was against the law to be Rasta. I just read it there. You want to read that article to see what it says?
It was never...
We used to lock up Rasta.
First of all, it wasn't until the 40s and the 50s that the last Caribbean territory removed or repealed the law that you could shoot a dreadlocks person on sight, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until the 40s or 50s. But other than that, like technically, it's never against the law to be a Rasta. We just treated them like criminals and enabled and allowed state actors to disregard the law and treat them like criminals.
We tend to treat all black people as criminals.
I mean, it is a plantation.
Yeah. But let's read that article and see if any nuggets in that. Because I still want to go in detail about the bill, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of what all it says. I know yesterday we mentioned the price for the institution who's going to be to get a permit to serve a cannabis. Say you call it?
Religious use exemption or religious use license for organizations and personal use.
Okay, that's one. And then there's for independent use.
Right, so there's an organizational license and then there's an individual use license.
Yes, and that one was for, I think, $1,000, the next one's $500.
Right.
So and that's per year?
Right. It's $1,000 initially, and then it's $1,000 per year for organizations and $500 per year for individuals.
Yes. So I was trying to reiterate the fact that if
we should start a church. That's not what you were going to.
But there's no money in it.
It's not for money.
You can start a church, but what are you doing if you're not going to do it for money?
Because three people paying $500 a year is $1,500. But three people make up one organization, and one organization only have to pay $1,000 a year.
But that means you have to go to the church to take advantage of the weed. I mean, the cannabis. You have to smoke the cannabis as a sacrament inside the church. But individuals could smoke it at home. So that's where the benefit comes in. But the AG also mentioned how much money they can make. What the headline to? What the headline was?
So... First headline, AG, we are ending criminalization of Rastafarianism. I think it's inside somewhere, right? There was a second headline.
Let me see if I took that picture.
Definitely second headline, probably in this other paper. Jail risk if you supply cannabis.
It says AG highlights entrepreneurial opportunities for cannabis builds.
Which paper is that, though?
Looking right now, it's someone business. Ah. Screwing up. This is The Guardian. Guardian Business. Yeah.
Right. AG highlights entrepreneurial opportunities from cannabis bills.
And I want to go in detail because I was trying to find out how many cannabis stations is needed in the small Bahamas.
Dispensaries.
Mm-hmm. And remember, it's for sick people. How many sick people do we have?
A lot?
Mm-hmm. To have a vast demand?
We have so many, there's no space at PMH, and the Prime Minister had to go abroad for his surgery.
You think that's what the reason was?
I mean, isn't that what we're pretending it is?
No, we know that your behemoths like talk. If my good Prime Minister go to Doctor's Hospital or even PMH, pictures of him on the gurney was going to be sent out. That's how y'all is. That's how behemoths are.
That's because we want to make sure he's still alive.
That's why they can take a picture?
Yeah.
So that's why politicians and those who have money go abroad. They cannot trust behemoths with their medical files.
Oh, you mean they cannot trust the integrity of the systems that they've been tasked to manage? Because that's the way it auto-corrected it.
Yeah.
It auto-corrected it, yeah.
Let's read some of these headlines. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right, so we're going to read from AG, we are ending criminalization of Rastafarianism. As Attorney General Ryan Pinder opened debate in the Senate yesterday on bills to legalize cannabis for medical and religious use, he said it's important that the government put an end to the criminalization of Rastafarianism.
See, it's not me.
Hold on, criminalization was in apostrophe marks. Denoting that the conventional meaning of the word may not be in use here.
Okay.
Quote, we believe it is the right thing to do, close quotes, Pinder said. Quote, we do not think it's right to criminalize an entire religion because of the use of their sacrament in their religious activities. Close quotes, stick a pin, but you feel it's okay to tax them? Like, you're not going to criminalize them, but you think it's okay, because it's a religious practice, but mm-hmm. you think it's okay to tax them?
Let's call it an oxymoron.
Is a moron involved in there somewhere. Mm. Quote, we don't believe that, and that is why we have taken the approach that we've taken. We're making the move to page A5 to continue reading. We are making the change. Close quote.
Do they tax any other religious organization sacraments? Like the holy wine, the holy bread?
Oh, I got to find out. And find out if they have to pay
what
VAT
all taxes
or import
do,
duty and VAT on that.
And what all taxes do churches pay? I know now we know the Rastafarian church, in quotes,
will have to pay,
will have to pay
tax.
A tax.
Yeah.
Now, what all taxes, when you contrast this religion to another religion, what all taxes do they pay? That might be some discrimination there.
Absolutely. I'm thinking they own, like everybody else, they're paying VAT on things purchased.
Mm. I know sometimes it's get exempted for that, for church, when you buy supplies for the church itself.
Mm. That could only be if you registered as an MPO at this point, though, under the MPO Act.
Mm.
I remember when the churches didn't want to have to follow, they didn't want to be
give their accounts, their numbers, how much money they get for tithes. Yeah. That's God money. You can't be counting God money like that. You got to ask God permission to count his money.
If it was God's money, he wouldn't need us to count it for him.
Mm.
Pinder said the bills will help the Bahamas get out in front of an emerging view across the Caribbean that Rastafarians have a constitutional right to cannabis use. Let me reread that.
Yeah.
Pinder said the bills will help the Bahamas get out in front of an emerging view across the Caribbean that Rastafarians have a constitutional right to cannabis use. How about it'll just help you stop discriminating against Rasta? Like, forget the rest of the Caribbean. What about the Rastas that are actually being marginalized? Quote, colleagues should be aware that some Caribbean jurisdictions have recognized that the freedom of religion, the conscience provision of the Constitution, covers the rights of Rastafarians to use cannabis in the exercise of their religion, he said. So the regional trend is that it is recognized that the use of cannabis as a sacrament in the religious faith of Rastafarianism is a constitutionally protected right. Close quotes. I really hope that the AG references the recent case where Rastafarians challenged that they have a constitutional right to smoke, to consume the cannabis as a sacrament, and that the ruling was they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's continue to read and see if he does reference that case.
It seems as if the government is the one who led the charge.
On?
Making Rastafarianism and the use of marijuana legal.
They could not have led. The government could not have led the charge.
Let's see who led the charge then.
The Rastafarians led the charge.
Was that mentioned? If it wasn't mentioned, that's not true then. Read it. Just see if it's mentioned. Read the thing.
I'm just assessing the words. I don't like the words that you're using.
I'm just saying the conclusion of it.
No, that's not the conclusion.
Okay, let's see.
Quote,
okay.
So the regional trend is that it is recognized that the use of cannabis as a sacrament in the religious faith of Rastafarianism is a constitutionally protected right. Close quotes. As he cited an ongoing case in St. Kitts and Nevis on the same matter, Pinder added, quote, it's important that we have a regulatory framework to address this issue. Quote, we must get ahead and at least establish the framework of which it will be utilized in the Bahamas. Close quotes. Pinder noted the government's efforts to consult at length with various stakeholders with respect to the legislation.
Did we ever get a table and final draft of the...
The cannabis report, the report from the Cannabis Commission?
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay. You think we'd ever get the final draft to look over?
I mean, he noted the efforts, but did he actually acknowledge that they were lackluster?
Mm. Go ahead.
He noted, however, that this does not mean that all the parties are satisfied with it. Quote, not everybody is going to be happy with the middle ground that we have chosen, but that's why it's a middle ground, he said. We didn't hire you to choose a middle ground. That's not what we were looking for, a middle ground.
I'm still uneasy that they have to pay to get used to their sacrament. If you acknowledge it's a constitutional right to have access to the sacrament, now they still got to pay. That's interesting. And pay so much. And then can't grow it. And can't distribute it. You know, you can't sell it.
And let's make two, let's make a distinction there. You can't grow it for their own consumption.
For their own consumption.
Right. And then can't grow it for the purpose of selling it.
Just can't grow it at all. That's why perhaps they're unsatisfied. They don't know how they can get this weed. I mean, cannabis.
Quote, we listened to the Rastafarian leaders. We looked at the benchmarks around the region. From a policy point of view, we took a position that we were comfortable with and that we thought was appropriate within the regime in which we are putting forth.
Mm. They're comfortable.
They're comfortable. They didn't say anything, but they're comfortable. Quote, and yes, we will continue to listen to the Rastafarians. In fact, we made it. We made an amendment to this provision based on our consultations with them. Quote, so there are multiple denominations within the Rastafarian faith. Some denominations partake in their sacrament at the tabernacle in a group. Some denominations in the Rastafarian faith do not, and it's used more at home in a personal meditative setting. Quote, how we had it originally drafted, you had to partake at the tabernacle. We listened to the different denominations and their input, and we made the change. And so you can use cannabis either at the tabernacle or in a private abode or accommodation, but never in public. This bill does not allow anywhere for public use. Close quotes.
That means you cannot smoke weed in your car? Cannabis in your car?
No, you can't.
What if I want a beach party and all of us are rastas?
That's public.
That's public. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Even if you were at a beach party on private property above the high water mark, if it's not your home, it's public.
What if I'm on a boat? Like on a boat cruise?
No, if you live on the boat.
That could be my home.
That could be your home. But if you don't live on the boat, then that's not your home.
Interesting.
Even if the pretty girl says she likes you, it's not your home. Hmm. Pinder also emphasized that a religious license will be required for use of cannabis for sacramental purposes. The legislation creates a control system for cannabis use for medical and religious purposes.
So any other religion have to get a license for their sacrament?
Well, all religions would have to get a license.
To be a religious organization?
No. All religious organizations should be registered under the NPO Act to be able to get a license, but all religious organizations, right, should have to get a license. So all organizations have to get a license. I think the question is, is Rastafarianism the only religion that consumes cannabis as a part of their sacrament?
But they have to be registered as a religion first.
No, they have to be registered as an NPO.
But not all churches are registered as an NPO, because the NPO have protocols and restrictions. I remember they were complaining that at some Baptists or the Christian Council, that they are not prepared to give a bank statement in reference to their churches. So they can't be an NPO, because part of being an NPO, you have to do that. Doesn't that make sense? It's because they ain't doing it.
You remember in Rwanda when His Excellency Kagame said that all leaders of churches have to have a degree?
Yes.
You can't just be hook boogie, open up a church and talk about you taking people money and saving their souls?
Yes.
Perhaps that is why he was honored in the Bahamian National Honor System.
I remember back once upon a time, the Holy Spirit used to give you the authority to open up a church and lead a flock. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that has no value anymore. You got to have a college degree.
Anyway, you need to be registered for the NPO, with the NPO Act. Mm. And then if you want to participate in the sacrament or use it as a sacrament, you have to have a license. That's the given. The only question is, which religions will then be able to get a license?
Mm.
So I don't like this talk about Rastafarianism.
I want you to continue to read, but I want to ask this question and to listen in order, especially the Rastafarians who are listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any Rastafarian organization that is an NPO at this present time, licensed as either a church, one, or registered as an NPO? And I know to be registered as an NPO takes a while. So I'm thinking that after this bill pass, right, and they think that they can actually start their sacrament, and you're not registered yet to get the permit yet to take advantage of this opportunity.
Well, here's what you do. Go to Civil Society Bahamas, mm-hmm. identify yourself as a faith-based organization, and ask them if Civil Society Bahamas can facilitate or assist in their registration as an NPO.
Hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to read? Because we have some callers.
It's just the rest of the article. It will allow the prescription of cannabis for medicinal use to provide relief for individuals suffering from cancer, HIV, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, epilepsy, post-traumatic stress disorder, autism, sickle cell anemia, anxiety, depression, and other conditions. The legislation will remove cannabis from the list of dangerous drugs and allow for the expungement of records for individuals convicted of the possession of 30 grams or less of Indian hemp. Then there's the second article in the business section.
Okay, let's go to Colin and get up next. Queue up the next article. Go ahead, Colin. Can you hear us?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, well. Sorry you. For the wait.
All right, no problem. I'm trying to figure out, right? So that bill with Senator Bragg and both, the pass with the doctor was saying it. So only the regular people could have side effects. Right? They might as well make it recreational.
No, not recreational. It's a medical marijuana.
What part of the region he've been, then most of the Caribbean islands have it still illegal. So he couldn't have went to Jamaica where they have it recreational use. You might as well just open it up and do recreational use, man. That don't make no sense. I mean, I don't smoke and weed, but still. You're doing it for one set of people and not to the next set of people. That don't make no sense.
I hear you, Cora.
Anyway, you all have a good day.
Yes.
Thank you.
But the position of the Bahamas is it's going to be for medical purposes. And the secondary will be for religious purposes. That's the two options at this present time.
So the first point is, following up on the caller, why does the AG so excitedly reference, kind of like best practices across the Caribbean when, like the caller pointed out, in Jamaica and Trinidad, recreational use has been legalized. And individuals are able to cultivate small amounts. So you could have like anywhere from, what did you say, 2 to 6?
Yeah.
Or plants. two to 12 plants mm-hmm. in various jurisdictions throughout the region. Why are you making this comparison to the rest of the region, but we are not nearly close to?
Because he said we made it a mid-ground. We wasn't prepared to be like the rest of the region.
So, okay, here's the next point, Mr. Nuri. If this is the middle ground,
yes.
right, then what's the scope of the park? Where are we going next? Are you going to recreational? Are you going to a tourist-based medicinal and therapeutic platform? Are we ever going to get to recreational? That's why I don't like that middle ground. Middle ground means nothing if you don't give us the scope of the call and the range, right? It's just rhetoric.
Before we go to the next caller, and producer, cue up the next caller. What if I am a tourist? I'm coming to the Bahamas. I have cancer, whatever the disease is right there, right? And I want to get access to marijuana, cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Am I able to get it and don't have to pay my $1,000 and then my $500, at least $1,000 to get my first permit?
No, that is for...
Bony Bahamians?
No, that's for religious use.
What about the people who are sick?
The question is, will a patient prescribed a cannabis-based medicine by their doctor be required to purchase a cannabis card? Will they be required, like, in the same way that a religious use license has to be purchased and then renewed every year?
Yeah.
Will I, the patient, once being prescribed by a doctor, have to pay a fee to get a cannabis card? And will I have to pay a fee every year to have that card renewed?
Okay, for this conversation, let's say they don't have to pay for the cannabis card.
Right.
They could use their doctor's prescription.
Well, right.
Who do they present this doctor's prescription to?
Participating pharmacies.
But maybe they have dispensers who are not pharmacies. Can I present it to my Bay Street local person who's distributing cannabis and say, this is my doctor's prescription? Because I can understand the pharmacy, because they call and reference a doctor and whatever.
Right,
it is.
So remember, this is what one of the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association's concerns was, that as the Pharmacy Act existed before the Pharmacy Amendment Bill is passed or will be passed, is that only pharmacists can dispense medicine. So the doctor could prescribe it, he could write on a piece of paper what it is you need, but only a pharmacist. You can only get it from a licensed pharmacy with a licensed pharmacist.
So clearly.
So the BPA argued that the bill is bad because only pharmacists should be dispensing medicine.
So is this cannabis medicine? Because it's clearly is not medicine, or it can be used as medicine.
Well, then, see, here's the question from yesterday's conversation. How will you distinguish between cannabis and cannabis products for religious consumption and cannabis and cannabis products for medicinal purposes?
Let's go to call because I want to ask you something about cannabis potato bread. I want to know if I can consume that to get healed. If you ever heard that. Anyway, let's go to call. Go ahead, call. Can you hear us?
You mean not cannabis potato bread. You mean THC, the byproduct of cannabis.
Same thing.
Listen. Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
I think the Hindus, too, they have certain festivals that, you know, when they celebrate certain festivals in their religion,
yes.
They use cannabis also, especially when they're worshiping a certain god.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I wanted to ask you guys, are they going to expunge records, or are they going to be a minimum amount that is allowed?
Okay, so not a minimum amount that is allowed. They are decriminalizing an ounce or less. But what that means is that you will be detained, you will be charged, you'll have your cannabis confiscated. If it's an ounce or less, like, you'll be written a ticket. They'll confiscate the material, give you a ticket. Now, the earlier iteration of the bill, if you paid the $250 fine by a certain point, it would be expunged. But it means that you have a record, and then that record is expunged.
Who write these laws in this country, man?
We have law drafters. Right.
Like, come on, man. Like, you know, in places like Jamaica, let's go to, you know, cannabis is, weed is basically illegal in Amsterdam, right?
once you, you only can smoke it in a certain area, like a coffee shop.
Right, so
you
it's,
cannot
it's,
come out of that area and just walk around smoking marijuana. That's illegal.
No, it, you can't no, even no. So, it, right? But let's use the right language. It's not illegal. Its use is restricted. So you can only use, possess, and consume under certain circumstances.
Circumstances, yes. Right. So my point is, and then once you have a certain amount, you know.
Right.
You know, it's, so what happens is, it's going to be a waste of time and resources on the police force to be locking up people and then trying to figure out if it's an ounce or less, you know. In Jamaica, too, once a person have a certain amount, you know. So the language is just allowing recreational use within means, in my opinion, within means. You can police people behaviors with it. Because, you know, this particular drafting of this bill, to me, is only appeasing basically a promise for voters. It isn't solving the problem and you know, gives people Advil or painkillers and hospitals. But, you know, we don't have that section amount of people that requires it for medical, in my opinion, you know. Recreation is what people want.
Okay, so let's talk about something, right? Here's one of the reasons why medicinal cannabis becomes attractive in this market. We have a lot of people with non-communicable diseases. We have a lot of people with chronic pain issues. We have a lot of people who are taking painkillers that are destroying their kidneys and livers, right? And we could see the dialysis unit is it needs to be burnt to the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, hold on. I just said that for effect. So what medicinal cannabis does is it provides an alternate painkiller that won't have such a detrimental effect on the kidney or liver.
I know that, Aaron. I know all of that. But I'm talking about a society and a culturally mixed society who believe in the white jacket and, you know, those pills and medication, who really ain't really want to smoke that dope. You know?
Well, see, now here's another part of the conversation that I think requires far more clarity, and it was raised by the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association. The forms in which medicinal cannabis are traditionally dispensed is not bud. It's not flower, right? Like,
I know, yeah.
And so this idea of when a patient goes to the dispensary and is dispensed a cannabis medication, what is it that they're going to receive? Are they going to receive a pill, a tincture, or are they going to receive a half bag and two pieces of paper?
Some, based on my knowledge, some will receive, you know, if you go in a medical pharmaceutical dispensary in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
You receive probably something similar to a cigarette in a canister.
Pre-rolled.
Which is appropriate for the right doses, amount for the particular patient, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have them labeled as the right doses. Now, you have medication that has THC in it and certain things like that, you know, but if you say, hey, I have an anxiety, I have so-and-so, you know, you either using some form of edible, or you can be able to say, how do you want to take it? Do we have something to say, how do these patients are going to be able to utilize cannabis?
We assume that will come with the packaging, right? That the packaging will require clear instructions in easy to read print, so that there's no excuse. It should even be a paper printout with instructions on it.
Yeah, because if you say and then people are using the word cannabis, right? When you're talking about that, you're talking about the plant. When you're talking about THC, he's talking about the different byproducts of the plant.
Mm.
So, you know, when we say cannabis, they smoke in that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carlo. Let's go to the next segment. I appreciate you calling. Go ahead, Carlo. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newey.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm in a fury. The last caller and the one before that made a great point. The last caller made me highlight. He said something that I thought is very important. Wasting time enforcing the law. Just give me a little second here. First of all, the police would have to ride around with a scale, right? Remember what I called right this morning? So if you have something in a plastic, you know, plastic has weight too. So specific weight would be a task for them. They all have to ride around with a scale. So let's get it with that one over, which is totally asinine. But it's something that has to be done. I guess it has to be done in order for you to avoid carrying someone to the station Because, you know, once they see a little baggy bag to them, to the colonial brain, that's like a, you understand, it's a lot. But what I want to touch on, firstly, Aaron, very important. I spoke with the guy from the Bobo Shanti camp, Rasta, he's be written them. He told me they don't smoke weed in the temple. So I don't know where this come up with being limited to the temple, all right? And so, see, Allen highlighted something that he's been saying too, where are they supposed to get the weed from? So then they have to go to the dispensary, I guess. And so this is the way of enhancing the dispensary. So I had a conversation with him with Supervisor this morning. So he said they're not, in this particular model, they're not given the rights to grow any cannabis. So I can't even conceive that. So thanks, Aaron, for the joke. When CA knew he said oxymoron, and you said some type of moron is in there, it's actually voice of laughing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, with this, we are looking at, let's say, in reference to Newsweek Marijuana Magazine, this is something that I subscribed to years ago, Dr. Julie Holland, an MD and a physician, and a psychologist, right? She says this, you know, nausea. Let me just paint a picture. Some people think that, all right, let's say something like anxiety. You can go and exercise, man. You don't need to smoke no joint. And so I'm looking at nausea and loss of appetite. That is the result of chemo. Right or wrong, Aaron?
Yeah.
All right, so everyone has cancer. Because they hide the answer. So then if I am on chemo, and you know that my mother had it, so I know the nausea, the vomiting, you can't eat. So if marijuana is the only drug that does that, so thank you, Aaron, for reminding everybody of the metabolic effect of consuming pharmaceutical drugs, the liver and the kidneys, et cetera, et cetera. Cause but you know, we don't read the fine print because they don't want to give us a hint. That's just the way it is. And so we are up against a losing battle, right? Because another question for Mr. Nui, who determines if the spirit is holy that you're receiving, given the fact that homosexuality is being established in the church? So, I mean, I don't know what spirit holy, I don't know if any war is holy or whatever. And so I'm vexed that the Rasta told me that they're not given the permission or license to grow their own cannabis, which in, as a Rasta man, part of being ital is growing your own food, so we need to grow your own weed, indeed. Now, I'm very upset about that model, really, really and truly. And something else slipped my mind that I thought was very important, but I would like for you guys to read my text if I remember it, because this doesn't make sense in any which event. It's just not fair. It's an oligarchical structure.
Okay? Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. You have one more call, but I want you to start reading the text. Okay.
I need a bunch of text.
Let's go to the caller, then go to the text, and then go to the next article. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Caller going once. Caller going twice. And we go straight to the text.
Hello.
Oh, go ahead, caller.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Morning, Aaron Gray.
Morning.
Yeah, I was wondering, maybe y'all can help me. How do a person get their marijuana tea? Are you allowed to grow in the yard? Are you allowed to buy it from the pharmacy?
You're not, okay.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a while.
All right.
No, pardon me?
We've been talking about that for a while now.
Right, that's where you go.
No, okay, but I can tell you right now, Papa.
Okay.
Pumpkin eater. I can tell you right now. Okay. I can tell you right now. So, to be able to consume cannabis in any form, you will either need a prescription from your doctor, prescription for a cannabis product to treat a specific medical ailment. The second way you would be able to consume it is you apply for a religious use license. If you're the leader of an organization, the organization applies, or you can apply for an individual license. Now, again, a part of my concern, even with the headline, the first headline we read from, is the presumption that only Rastafarians consume cannabis as a sacrament.
Mm.
I am troubled that one of the most learned legal minds in the country had not felt it prudent to have a more narrow and precise conversation, to not confuse political rhetoric with legal language. AG, we are ending criminalization of Rastafarianism. I don't think you are, and I don't appreciate the rhetoric, and I think it only confuses the matter. I also think that we don't expect this type of engagement from our Attorney General. You know, how could you suggest to us that you are modeling systems you see in the region, but your models don't come close to what it is we are seeing in the region. The conversation requires far more clarity, transparency, honesty, and accountability. Let's go back to the text line. Here we go. I don't know if anyone has asked, but who really trusts smoking Babylon weed? That's a big question. I tell you what, the move to decriminalize for recreational use would be a good one because it would create a safer environment for local smokers. Local smokers who are breaking the law to consume cannabis run the risk of consuming cannabis contaminated with other contraband that's also smuggled into the country at the same time. Here's a text. Even if it is recreational, they still need the medical for people who need certain doses for medical reasons. Right. We would still need the production of cannabis and cannabis products specifically for, right, certain strains for specific ailments.
What about the dispensaries? How would they know the specific strain to use? Or are they going to access
doctor?
But they ain't have no doctor there. These are dispensaries.
No, the doctor prescribes. The doctor indicates what dosage, what strain, and if not, the doctor indicates what ailment.
Mm.
And a trained cannabis dispenser and pharmacist would be able to determine from the doctor's prescription the product to dispense.
So we're saying we have in dispensers are now equating to pharmacists. Because they're both trained.
Well, no, and this was the concern of the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association, that the state was very careful with the legislation that they rolled out, that it did not diminish the existing capacity of the pharmaceutical pharmacists understanding the importance of their role in the dispensing of medication. They're concerned initially that no pharmacist would be involved in the dispensing of medicinal cannabis products. And then now they are concerned that the cannabis dispensaries will be managed at the very least by a pharmacist tech or pharmacist assistant that would have to have, and I think they are demanding that individual have specific training developed and endorsed in the Bahamas by the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association. Another text, morning, Aaron, there will be a problem for the recreation. There's a problem for recreational users right now, Texter. It's against the law.
Don't be smoking no weed.
No, I mean, and if you do get caught, try and tell them it's cannabis.
Yeah.
And Dr. Minnis thinks it's a good idea. Good morning, what baffling, not that you smoke it without permission, but that you should be able to smoke it. Good morning, what's baffling is what's the difference of a Rasta smoking weed versus a regular person, or only the regular person will have side effects. AG, just make it recreational one time.
No.
I guess they will put the weed in pill form next so you don't get the full effect. You know, in communion, when you are receiving the communion, mm-hmm. and the blood becomes the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
And the wafer becomes the body of Christ.
Yeah.
In the same way, if you're a Rasta, the smoke becomes the Spirit of God.
What?
You just got to believe. You believe the other thing, don't you? I'm just saying, you believe the other thing.
Let's take a short break. I see you, callers. When we come back, we're going straight to the phone line, and I see
you. You don't want to read any more of these texts.
Yeah, the text that good? Okay, let's go take a break. Quickly, Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. We'll take a break right now, and we'll come back to the callers who are on hold.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Guardian Media Group has your ticket to Paris.
On your marks, get set, go!
Join the Guardian Media Group, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio 96.9, and Hot 91 FM. And follow Team Bahamas from Paradise to Paris. Live comprehensive updates on Team Bahamas every day during the 2024 Summer Olympics. We are your ticket to Paris. Nassau Guardian sports editor Sheldon Longley will be trackside, bringing you closest to our athletes in their quest for gold. From Paradise to Paris, the 2024 Summer Olympics. Live updates brought to you by gold sponsors, the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, Jimmy Wines and Spirits, distributors of Refreshing Sands Beer, silver sponsor Executive Motors, and the bronze sponsors Hertz Rent-A Car, Magico Insurance, Bay Street Garage, Nassau Motors, your Chevy and Honda dealers, and New Life Natural. Let the games begin.
That was a fantastic last leg by Ramon Miller of the Bahamas.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bay, De Gregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. And of course, this is C.A. Nuri. Aaron Green is with me, and we're going straight to the phone lines. Let's go, caller. That's you.
Yes, how are you doing to both of you?
Hey,
C. Allen Johnson, yeah. The question I have to you is, like, for instance, you know, cannabis has about 700 strains and the variations of the THC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the CBD in cannabis.
Right, the variation for certain strains.
Based on the strain, soil conditions, weather, a whole host of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make a determination as to what the THC content will be that you will allow churches to basically have access to?
Exactly.
You're going to set a standard.
Exactly. Can you force a dispensary to import or to make available for sale particular dosages? Say the government puts a limit on it and says you can't have more than 500 milligrams per dose. It's just a totally random number, right?
Right.
You can't have more than 500. What if the dispensaries all only bring in 250 milligrams or less, or 100 milligrams?
Yes, and this is what I'm asking about. But even for the personal consumption, see, my thing, even for the fact that I don't know how police even now determine the validity of whether somebody has cannabis, because they usually say, we find with cannabis, we charge people, we never test the cannabis, we never do anything. I don't know if we have any discovery or anything. Like in court cases, what is the content? You know, at what level of THC did you label something as being this illegal subject substance that you have, or just all cannabis, including the lowest level of THC in hemp?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Allen,
the law was that any Indian hemp product or any byproduct is against the law, right? So they didn't have to make a determination of what the THC content was. Once they determined that it was, they reasonably suspect it's Indian hemp,
yep,
then they just lock you up. It don't matter what the THC, right? So that's why they used to laugh at by them for getting lock up for boodle.
So, but see, I'm saying, but now that you've removed that, where do you set the standards? You know, I know from the early 2000s, we've been waiting for the phytosanitary standard and these measurings of quality and quantitative type involvement, even in the things that we have. And we haven't had that yet. It's been 20 years. And so, and again, the government says that they're going to make thousands of jobs. I think, Nuri, you asked a question about how many people use the drugs. From the definition they give, I think one of the pharmacists may agree, is that there'll be, in worst case scenario, 8,000 people in the Bahamas based on our population who may suffer from these diseases, but 90% of them will never even be prescribed cannabis as a prescription. It'd probably be one of the last different things. So if you take a variation of that, it's just, you know, from that's 8,000, 20% of that will be 1,600 people, even say 2,000 people. So where are these thousands of jobs that will come to develop this? Remember now, you have to consider that cannabis has always been legal in the Bahamas. I mean, medical cannabis has been legal in the Bahamas for decades. You just simply had to go get a doctor to prescribe it, and then the pharmacist would have to order it because the demand was in there before for them to keep it in stock for you in any particular
Johnson, up to the passing of the most recent bill or the first bill, possession, consumption, even cultivation is possible with authorization from the relevant ministers. So this, like I said, this legislation didn't enable... Right, it only created an industry.
For production, for producing it, right. But that's what I'm saying. Where these thousands of jobs that's going to come to produce the volume that is necessary for thousands of jobs to supply this to 2,000 people? Then if you want to use the argument that the people are coming off the boat, you need to, a pharmacist here can't fill a prescription from the outside of the country. It has to come from a localized doctor. So they're going to come from the boat, use the 2 hours to go see a doctor to get some cannabis, to consume it because they can't take the remainder of it back.
Now, see, Alan, remember they said if they bring their cannabis card from a recognized jurisdiction, right? Like that that'll speed up the process. But two things. Imagine now that you, a tourist, have greater access, right? You have greater access to medicinal cannabis in my own country than I do.
Right.
And then will we have price control? Because a part of the rationale for this new legislative regime is that traditional medicines and healthcare becoming too cost exorbitant, expensive.
Louis, you know what you could do? There's something called an economic impact analysis or an economic impact study. Maybe you could scream louder than I can to ask the government to present this concerning the job impact, the economy impact, and all of these different things. You can't just pass along and pray and hope. I mean, we do it for tourism. We do it for other different things. But I kind of think something as sensitive as this for the U.S. and other places where we're still trying to, you know, we still listen to what others say. That we, you know, like again, we get warmed by somebody else's fire. So we should ask the government to see these things to justify the decision they have made, so we can know now, short, medium, and long term, the development aspect, this impact this will have.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alan. Let me just read the last of these texts. Okay. Police don't have to have a scale. They can look at the amount, and if you have a sandwich bag full of some leaves, they can correctly assume that's more than what you're legally allowed to have. I think the 30-gram limit is guidance for the consumer. No, sir. No. This needs more clarity and certainty. What it means is if they don't have a scale, if they are unable to determine the proper weight and whether they could issue a ticket, then they get to hold you. And then, right? So, no, we need clarity around that specific legislation. A minister and family can't operate a cannabis drug store like the minister. Like a minister of health can't operate a drug store. We need rules, dear texter. We need to ensure that these provisions are in legislation. That's all. That's the last of the text, sir.
How much time do I have?
You have 35 seconds.
Let's go try, guys. Go ahead, Cordy. Can you hear us? 30 seconds. Quickly.
Will you tell me something? You to say no to the legalization, I mean to recreation?
No, he didn't say no. He said the government said no.
If you say that,
Well, it's time to go, sir. But this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We time for news. Have a wonderful day.